You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Friday the 25th of October. Great day of racing we've got coming up. Three Group of Grade 1 tracks racing in the afternoon, Newbury, Doncaster and Cheltenham. The courses in question and our usual Friday night action on the all-weather at Dundalk and also at Newcastle here in the UK. So lots to look forward to. Luke Alter, Andrew Mount and Will Smith will be your team on Racing Radio from 1pm. So do join them for all the day's racing. But here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby. Craig Forsyth is with me. Craig, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, John. How are we going to sleep on Thursday night with the excitement for all this great racing on Friday?
I know, it's good, isn't it? We've got good meetings on Friday, and then it's a bit of a something for everyone, to use that cliche, a weekend that we've got coming up as well. Obviously, the good quality jumps racing kicking into gear, the last remnants of the quality flat racing still with us, so it's a great time of year.
It is, absolutely, and obviously we've got Cheltenham starting again. You know, Doncaster, I think, is an excellent card on Friday. We've got the Group 1 two-year-old race on Saturday. It's just a really good weekend of racing that ends with the Old Roan Chase entry on Sunday, and of course the clocks go back this weekend, and we'll be starting a little bit sooner next week.
Well, speaking of the start of the new jump season, that always, of course, brings in the new cohort of novice chasers. And this year, Craig, I think especially for so early in the season, it's really an exciting time for that division of novice chasers. We've got some nice horses we're going to be seeing making their debut over the large obstacles this weekend. And though I don't believe he's set to make his debut just yet, we have heard from Willie Mullins that former champion hurdle winner Paul Heen is going to be sent over fences as well. What do you make of that one?
Yeah, he's, what is he, 11 now, John? You know, his record over hurdles was 13 wins from 21 starts. He was 1 from 1 in a point before he won his bumper. Just with his problems, I think he's had in recent years, it's probably come on something of a little surprise given, you know, how will he stand chasing. Obviously, you know, he won't be running in Grade 1 races against 160 horses. You know, there will be easier pickings. So it will be interesting to see how he goes. I mean, he's always had the size and scope. And when you go back to, was it 2014, when he won the Neptune, and Vatour won the Supreme that year. Now, when you looked at those two horses, you know, and you had to pick which one was going to stay hurdling and which one was going to go chasing, I think the majority would have gone for Vatour as the one to remain hurdling, and for Heen at that stage to go novice chasing.
Because he was bought to go chasing, wasn't he, initially?
He was, yeah. You know, I think everybody, after he won the Neptune, I think everybody expected for Heen to go novice chasing the following year. It didn't happen. Obviously, he stayed over hurdles. He had a lot of success. It proved to be the right decision. You know, obviously, he will find it a little bit easier, I think, in the novice division over fences than tackling Grade 1 company over hurdles.
Well, that's for Heen. Looking slightly sort of closer to the here and now, we've got some great novice chases coming up at Cheltenham this weekend. The 2:35 on Friday is one in particular that stands out here, Craig. Just a field of four, but it's one of those occasions that, well, certainly for me, you have a small field novice chase, which sometimes gets a little bit of stick, but there's such quality on show that you're sort of willing to over that Caius Marcius, Getaway Trump, Not That Few Say, and probably most notably of all, Al Dancer for Nigel Twiston Davis.
Yeah, I mean, Al Dancer was a really exciting horse. He was one that, you know, after he won at Cheltenham, he won a handicap off a mark, I think, in the 120s early season last year, and the time he clocked suggested that he was up to, you know, a level of being a supreme novices horse. And, you know, he went on and he won the rearranged Betfair Hurdle at Ascot very well off a mark of 141. And he did come up short at Cheltenham, but it could have just been a race too many. at that stage of his career. And one of his opponents on Friday, John, is Getaway Trump. Of course, these two did meet in the Ascot event last year, and Aldancer coming out on top. And, you know, given the way Aldancer went through that race, how keen he was, and, you know, he still found plenty for pressure in the closing stages. Obviously, you know, fences could be the making of him. You know, the fences could just knock that exuberance from him and help him settle. And I think he has all the hallmarks of being a super novice chaser. When you look back to his first win last year on his hurdling debut at Carlisle, he and Good Boy Bobby won, I think, two divisions of a novice hurdle. And Aldancer was the most impressive. And we've just seen Good Boy Bobby make the switch from hurdles to fences at Carlisle in what is by far the best novice chase run so far this year, won by Brewing Up a Storm. Absolute tremendous race to watch, and Good Boy Bobby, you know, made that switch really well. And I think Aldancer has been the apple of Nigel Twiston Davis's eye for a couple of years now, and the old famous quotes of "We've never had one as good as this before" has been mentioned a few times. So
that old tradition.
Yeah, indeed. You know, there's a lot to look forward to. Aldancer, he does wear the hood again, you know, given his exuberance. We've talked about how keen he can be.
And that was off during the Supreme Novices as well, which is an important point.
It was, yes. They left it off, which was a strange decision considering how well he took to the hood. So, you know, that is back on for his chasing debut, and it should be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, Aldancer running in the 2:35 at Cheltenham on Friday. The latest of already a great line of horses to be switched to chasing and to make their first appearance over fences, and other great horses, including Getaway Trump, of course, with Paul Nicholls running in that race. And it's live on William Hill Racing Radio. Now let's take a look at Saturday and a big flat race, final Group 1 of the season, of course, the Verton Futurity Trophy, the mile race for 2-year-olds. And, well, there's been a little bit of controversy over this race this week, it's fair to say, Craig, because when they came to the 5-day entry stage, Aidan O'Brien was responsible for all but one of the entries. That's still the case now. We've had the final declarations 48 hours to go until the race, and Andrew Balding with Kamiko, the only horse not trained Ballet Doyle in the field. Mogul, short price favourite to 7-4 on with us here at William Hill. Industry at 4-1. Then Kamiko at 5-1. Louisiana is 16-1. Iberia 28-1. And Royal County Down 50-1. What did you make of the controversy that surrounded this race a little bit earlier on, Craig? Some people were holding this up as an example for why we should all be worried for the future of racing. Would you look at it in quite so dramatic terms?
No, just one of these things, really, John, the way it panned out. I mean, you can't blame Aidan O'Brien. He's obviously got a lot of top-class juveniles that are entitled to be entered and take the chance in this race. You know, I don't think any of them was setting such a high standard that was putting the British trainers off.
Yeah.
I think it was more a case of, you know, them not having horses ready or the race suiting. And we only ended up with an Andrew Balding entry, who does run, has been declared, against the Aidan O'Brien runners. And just one of these things. I don't think it's anything to get too concerned about. You know, fair play to bookmakers this week. They obviously realised what was about to happen and only betting to two places anti-post, even though there was 14 entered, down to 6 on the day. So that decision has paid dividends already for any anti-post bet struck. But, you know, Aidan O'Brien here, he's left with 5 of the 6 runners. And the horse that comes up against his 5 is trained by Andrew Balding. Of course, he finished 2nd in the Royal Lodge at Newmarket. In that Royal Lodge, Aidan O'Brien had the 1st, 3rd and 4th. So he knows what level his horses need to hit here to win this race.
Yeah, it's interesting, this race. Every year it rolls round, and I'm not trying to, you know, do the race down or be insulting towards it as such, but it always seems to be one of those weaker 2-year-old group ones.
Oh, I've seen some good winners of this as well, though, John, when you do look back. If we go back to the 2017 renewal where Saxon Warrior beat Roaring Lion, that turned out fairly well, particularly, obviously, Roaring Lion going on to good things. And last year, Magnea Grisha won this race. So I always think this is a real good marker, this race, for the guineas, for the early season, you know, classics. There's not too much changes between, you know, October and May in terms of a horse's physique, and I always think this is a fairly good pointer.
Well, Mogul is another short price favorite, of course. Aidan O'Brien looking to win this race for the third year in a row with Mogul 7-4 on with us here at William Hill for the Versant Futurity Trophy on Saturday. I nearly called it by its old name there for a second.
Yeah, we're talking about this, you know, being a good pointer towards next year's classics. But of course, as well, John, at Newbury on Saturday, we've got the Group 3 Horace Hill and Kin Ross, who made a very impressive debut despite doing lots wrong at Newmarket. He clocked a real quick time at Son of Kingman. You know, at the time of recording, he's in an 11-10 chance for the Horace Hill. I know our colleague Andy Holden has put him up today for next year's guineas at 25-1. You know, it's a real interesting time of year for the juveniles.
Yeah, that's 250. That's a Horace Hill by the stakes, by the way, or Cancom Stakes, as it's currently known. Group 3 over at Newbury. We're going to switch back just to Friday now, though, Craig, and we're going to ask you for your two selections today on the Daily Racing Podcast, and I believe they're both on at Doncaster.
Yeah, you know, although we've got some cracking racing, I think it's the Doncaster card that really catches the eye, and we're going to start with a 6 furlong handicap sprint, a real good race, Class 2. This is due off at 3:35. I think the first thing to note from this race, John, is the three-year-old record, because I started looking at the form of three-year-olds, the likes of Call Me Ginger, the likes of Triggered, who caught the eye at Ascot and Thurscon the last two starts. But three-year-old record, one win from the last 28 runners, which would be slightly concerning here for that division. So I'm going to go with a Kevin Ryan runner in Beliza, who, you know, was very, very impressive when winning at Doncaster early in the season. That was the first real time that, you know, he'd gone to the track after his debut win at Redcar and suggested he was well above average. He followed up in a, you know, for a horse with lacking in experience in a big field handicap at Thirsk, doing it the hard way as well. Seen off Lahore in the closing stages there again in a quick time. And he went from a Class 3 handicap into what is always a good race, the Portland at Doncaster. You know, he was just a little too keen that day and a little too fresh. And he didn't really see his race out. Hopefully, after a break of 41 days, he can bounce back here. You know, the time he clocked when he won at Thirsk suggests, you know, a mark of 93 still looks very, very workable. And I think he has a big chance. The three-year-olds, obviously, you know, do worry me because they've showed some smart form, particularly Triggered, who I've never seen a horse finish as fast as he did over 5 furlongs at Thirsk after getting into all sorts of trouble. I mean, he just failed to get there on that occasion, so the step up to 6 has to be a plus for him. And, of course, the return to 6 for Call Me Ginger, who, you know, is another one that is on the up. He won on turf for the first time at Redcar, and then he was really unlucky at Ascot last time, finishing 6th behind Pendleton. He ended up on the wing. He got no cover at any stage throughout the race. You know, Danny Tudhop knew from the position he was in he couldn't win. And he never gave him a hard race, but when he did get after him inside the final furlong, he picked up well, suggesting that this extra furlong will definitely suit. So, you know, there is dangers from the classic generation in Call Me Ginger and Triggered, but I think Beliza can get back on track for Leeds fans and Kevin Ryan.
There we go. They're currently 11-1 with us here at William Hill as well. Prices available for Doncaster's card on Friday. And your other pick, well, that runs in the very next race on the card.
It is, and three-year-olds have a much better record in this race, John, compared to the previous race. And there's a couple that that interest me here. The first, then the main one, being Teodora de Vega, who I thought was very unlucky, the filly, at Ripon on her last start. She was drawn one on that occasion, and she got squeezed out at the start, ended up in an awful position, you know, went through the race really well. But when Kevin Stott asked this filly to go forward, he had to come round the pack, and he ended up in the middle of the track from being drawn in stall one, and the horse just, you know, still looked a little bit green despite, you know, the season he's had. He had a look about given how much daylight he had to run into, And, you know, he just didn't quite get there, but it was a hugely promising run. He's a horse on the up. He handles soft ground particularly well. And the trainer is in exceptional form. So he's the one that I'm very keen on, Teodoro de Vega. And there's another one in here I cannot let or go off on back to you. And that's Mankane for Charlie Fellows. A horse that was very impressive on Salisbury on his debut, where he had to work hard, but the fast pace helped. He clocked a really quick time. The wheels came off at Pontefract. That's the only way really to describe that run. It was a poor effort. And last time at Leicester, on fast ground, the race turned into a sprint, and it just didn't suit. You know, he's back on a softer surface. There's at least two front runners in here that should provide a strong gallop for him. And I, you know, Celestial Force being one of them, I would not at all be surprised if this horse bounced back on Friday from what looks a good mark of 80. I think, you know, we certainly haven't seen the best of him. That debut run for me is still fresh in the mind, and I think he's the danger to Teodoro de Vega.
But Teodoro de Vega 15-2, the main pick.
He's the main pick, John.
That's a full turn at Doncaster on Friday. You can hear all the races there and the rest of the day's meetings as well. Newbury, Cheltenham, Dundalk and Newcastle live on Racing Radio. Do join the team in the studio from 1 p.m. Join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And Craig, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.